Good morning. That sounded like I feel. Okay, let me take the temperature of the room. Let's say that 10 is you are ready to kick butt, take names, maybe do a few roundhouse kicks. 1 is you are mostly dead. Okay, on a scale of 8 to 10, who would say they're in an 8 to 10 range this morning? Okay, a few weirdos are in the 8 to 10 range. Few energetic weirdos that I wish I was more like. Let's say now the 5 to 7 range. Okay, that's increasing, a little more lethargic. What about in the 3 to 5 range? Okay. How about a 2 and below? Yeah. Is there anyone less than 0 at this point that we need to... Okay, got a couple in the back who need to be directly revived right now. Please inject caffeine directly into their veins. I am excited about this morning. I had a great time last night. I was so grateful to get to speak to you guys, get to meet some of you guys, hear your stories. It's an honor to be with you guys. If you have your Bibles, hold on, finding my verse. Okay, Colossians 1, 13 through 14. You're going to put your finger in there. If you don't have it, no problem. I will read it. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. I believe it's Colossians 1, 13 to 14. Ha, 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 ha. You guys are hilarious. This mic, is this sitting on my face okay? My elven ears are not adjusting well. Decent? Okay. All right, now that you've found your place, stick your finger in there. I want to talk about something totally not related to Colossians 1. Actually, it is kind of related. That's why I'm starting with it. I grew up in the late 80s and the 90s, which was literally, and I am using that word literally the worst decade ever in terms of fashion. The worst. Yes, it is true. Here's where it started. It started with the pants. These days, it's all about the skinny jeans, right? It's all about jeans so tight that they take about 45 minutes to get on and require an elaborate system of pulleys and levers just to get your legs into the pants. Could be confused with yoga pants. Today, I mean, in the 90s, it was the opposite. We liked our jeans as big as humanly possible. I'm getting there. So imagine a family-sized sleeps 8 people, 10. Now imagine turning that 10 into a pair of pants. That was the jeans. There was this particular brand called Jenko, J-N-C-O. We were cool back then. We didn't use any vowels. Actually, O at the end, but we didn't use connecting vowels. These jeans were so big. I think they had a 40-inch wide leg pair of jeans. Like you could, we wanted our jeans to have their own zip code. You could fit 2 to 3 people in each pair of these jeans, but they were for one person. If you fell out of a plane, they could double as a parachute. It wasn't just the pants that we had completely bleach blonde hair. Now, the only person that I'm aware of who still has, the only guy that I'm still aware of that has totally bleach blonde hair is Guy Fieri on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I don't know. He's pretty bleach blonde all the way. Maybe just frosted tips. If they are, they're very frosted tips. We also, in addition to the hair and the pants, we wore these things called bucket hats. I don't know if you know what a bucket hat is. Sounds like you're familiar with the concept of a bucket hat. It's more and more things are actually back from the 90s, which is a little disturbing. So a bucket hat is basically a safari hat for dads, but for some reason, we wore those in the 90s, and we thought we were cool, and we weren't. We weren't. Don't wear bucket hats. I'm just appealing to you now. It is a lie. Whatever they're telling you to sell them, it's a lie. And then finally, we had puffy jackets. Giant, giant puffy jackets. If you were cool, you had a starter puffy jacket with your favorite sports team. Here's what you can imagine it looking like. Imagine being swallowed by a life-size marshmallow, putting that on as a jacket. That's what we wore. Now, when I look back on this, I think, first of all, I think that was the worst. I think that was literally the worst. But also, I think, why did I do that? Why was I, and it wasn't just me, all the people I hung out with, why were we so obsessed with wearing these things, with trying to find the clothes that would make us look cool? Because really, that's, I mean, to be honest, that's what it was for me. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to look good. I wanted, not these things are particularly wrong, but I was obsessed with it. And here's why it was. It's because I desperately wanted to fit in. I don't think that's changed for most people. I think you probably feel the same way in a lot of ways. But I really, really wanted people to like me. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be welcomed. I think we all want this, don't we? Don't we all want this in some way or another? I think high school, though, is a unique time that you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out where you fit in. You're trying to figure out how you can be accepted, who your friends are. And in all of us, tell me, don't tell me out loud, but think about this. Have you ever felt this? There's a deep longing in all of us. Befriended, to be welcomed, to be accepted, right? I mean, it's an ache inside us at times. It feels like a hole inside of us sometimes. And this longing, it's not wrong. This longing is created by God because you and I, we were meant to be in a relationship with God and in relationships with other people. And so this deep desire you feel, it's from God. It's a good desire. But and this is where we're going. This is where we're going this morning. And this is what I want you to get. If you try, if I try to find our ultimate acceptance anywhere other than Jesus Christ, we will feel empty, hollow, and dissatisfied. Did you get that? If we try to find our acceptance anywhere apart from Christ, we're going to be tremendously disappointed. You're going to be constantly searching for acceptance. You're never going to find it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you are like Taylor Swift, you shake off all your haters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work because you need acceptance. You and I need it. We need it. It's from God. We need a sense of acceptance. But the only place we're going to have that need and desire met, God himself. And if you look anywhere else, it's like trying to quench your thirst by guzzling salt water. It doesn't work. You're going to end up more and more and more thirsty. It's like, have you ever tried to fill up on popcorn? It's a losing task. You cannot. It doesn't matter how much butter you put on popcorn. You will never. It takes 600 pounds of popcorn. That's scientific. 600 pounds of popcorn to fill up on it. That's what it's like trying to find acceptance apart from Christ. Now, remember, the gospel changes everything. So the main point, if you're writing things down, write this down. The gospel changes where you find acceptance. The gospel changes where you find acceptance. The gospel changes everything. We talked last night about identity. The gospel changes where you find your acceptance. And your absolute, full, satisfying acceptance, it's found in Jesus. The acceptance you long for is found in Jesus. Let me start. I want to pray, and then we're going to read our verse. Father, thank you for this morning. God, what a privilege it is. What a privilege to know the gospel. To know that out of your intense affection and love, you sent Christ to live in our place, to die, to rise again, and to come back for us, to be our righteousness. I pray this morning that your word would sink in, that it would affect us, and that it would move us to love you more and to find our acceptance in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Colossians 1, 13 to 14 says this. This is talking about God. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. These verses, they're painting a picture. It's painting a picture of dark then light. It starts with painting a picture of being outside, excluded, not welcomed, and then being brought inside. Being brought in and welcome and accepted and embraced and loved. And so if you struggle to find acceptance, if you struggle with this whole feeling of like, people don't accept me, I'm not welcome, nobody likes me. If you find yourself wrestling with those things, this verse, it should breathe life and encouragement into you. And again, it starts with a little bit of a dark picture. It says that Jesus has delivered us from what? Look at the word it uses, the domain of darkness. That sounds kind of freaky, right? The domain of darkness sounds like either a horror movie, a death metal song, or like something from Stranger Things. The domain of darkness, the upside down. It's worse. It's way worse. Like I said last night, remember how last night we talked about sin, how sin cuts us off from God? How sin went before we know Christ. We follow Satan. We are slaves of sin, slaves to the power of sin, slaves to Satan. That's the domain of darkness. Apart from Christ, here's where we are. We live in the kingdom of Satan. Because it says that, if I remember right from where we read in Ephesians last night, it says we are following the prince of the power of this air. That's just a reference to Satan. That's the kingdom we're in, the domain, the kingdom of darkness. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, this is Mordor. We live apart from Christ in the domain of darkness. We're excluded. We are cut off. Remember, sin cuts us off from God. So apart from Christ, we are cut off. That's where that deep longing for acceptance comes from. We are cut off from God. We feel that. This is the kind of being cut off that causes despair and a deep sense of ache in our hearts. This is a real cut-offness. Cut-offness isn't a word, but it describes what I'm saying here. Now, most of us, we don't feel like we're in the kingdom of Satan, right? It's not like you're waking up, at least I hope not. It's not like you're waking up every morning and arranging candles in a pentagram and then lighting them. Some people are like, well, we are in the kingdom of darkness apart from Christ. Whether you feel it or not, we are cut off from God, separated from God. And remember, I said we're made to live with God, right? That's how God created us. We are made, you are made to have a relationship with God. You are made to be in intimate connection with God and with other people. And so every day, apart from Christ, we feel it. We feel this disconnection. Actually, even if you know Christ, you feel this disconnection in some ways. You feel this sense of broken relationships and disconnection from God at times. All of that is the result of sin in the world. All of that sense of not being accepted, first it comes from our disconnection with God. And so we try to fill it with a lot of other things, don't we? I mean, don't we try to do so many things to sort of fill that void in us? We live in a world, man, we live in a world filled with people who don't know Christ. And there's so many broken relationships, broken friendships. Just had the privilege of talking with a couple people this morning who felt that exact thing right now. All that comes from people who are separate from God, trying desperately to figure out how to find acceptance. So we tried to find it in all kinds of things, with friends and Netflix and Snapchat and sex and parties and popularity and football, thousands of other things. None of these things, depending on the context, none of these things in themselves is necessarily bad, but if you use them to try and find your ultimate acceptance somehow, it's a losing battle and will leave you so frustrated, so burned out. None of them satisfy, no matter how hard you try. And sometimes, see if you can relate to this. I've done this before. Have you ever, in an effort to make yourself feel like more a part of the in-group, you exclude other people? Have you ever done that? Like, you want to feel like you're kind of in on something, and so you create some sort of, like, exclusive group. Maybe you, if you're a really hardcore nerd, you create some sort of exclusive club with a handshake and secret language and symbols. But even if you're not that hardcore, we all do things where we create groups that we can exclude people from. That doesn't solve the problem either. That doesn't solve the ache within us. Has anyone here ever seen the movie Castaway? A few people. So in this movie, Tom Hanks, he gets stranded on a desert island. He has to survive by himself. And at one point, he's so lonely for human company, he finds this volleyball that's washed up on the shore. I think it was on the shore. And because he's going semi-crazy, he turns it into a friend of sorts of his. He names it Wilson, because it's a Wilson brand volleyball. He talks to it. He argues with it. He gets angry at it at one point. But here's the thing. It doesn't work for him. He still desperately needs people. And honestly, okay, here's something we all know. Volleyballs make terrible friends. They're always throwing shade on you and your bae. If you try, trust me, I've had a lot of volleyball friends. Thank you. You know. You know what it's like. They're terrible friends. But here's the point of that somewhat odd illustration. If you try to find your acceptance anywhere other than Jesus, it's like trying to make friends with a volleyball. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not going to satisfy what you want. You can be the most popular person. You can get all the likes, all the hearts, all the retweets, all the comments, however you want to put it, whatever your thing. You can get invited to every party and yet still feel tremendously empty. This is why there's this John Mayer song. Every time I listen to it, it's like heartbreaking to me. He's saying, you guys know the song Something's Missing? Have you ever heard that song by John Mayer? It's one of the most heartbreaking songs I've ever heard. Because he basically goes through this list of all these things he has and why he's terribly unsatisfied. And why at the end he just says, you know what, something's missing from all this. And when I hear it, I just want to say to him, I know what you're missing. I know exactly what you're missing. You're missing Jesus. Without Jesus and without the gospel, we're cut off from the ultimate acceptance we need. We have an ache that can't be erased. There's good news, though. There's good news. Before I move on to the good news, I do want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Where do you look for your acceptance? Maybe write that down and think about it later. Where do you look for your acceptance? Is it to Jesus? Is it to friends? Maybe it's to family, which isn't a bad thing, but even that's not going to work in the end. Is it to popularity? Where do you look to be accepted? Now let's move on to the good news. Our verse from Colossians, remember what it says? It first says we're in the domain of darkness, but then it says we've been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus. out of the dark and into the freedom and light. This is you. If you've believed in Christ, this is you. You've been taken by God out of the darkness and into the light of Christ's kingdom. This is the gospel. The gospel changes our acceptance. We're in. If you know Jesus, you are in the kingdom of God. You're not out. You're not excluded. God himself has brought you in. The Holy One, the perfect one, the all-satisfying one. He brought you in. He welcomed you. He said, come on, come in. I've got good things for you. He loves you. He delights in you. He accepts you. He wants to know you and you to know him. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you don't have to fight and claw for acceptance. Did you get that? If you're in the kingdom of God, if you're in with Jesus, you don't have to fight and battle and pour all your energy into finding acceptance. The gospel changes where you look for your acceptance. It totally changes. The gospel changes all the things you look to for acceptance. That changes when you know the gospel. I'm a bit of a nerd, and I listen to, sometimes when I'm working, I listen to soundtracks, movie soundtracks. That's only the tip of the iceberg of my nerdness, but here's the thing. Did you know that there is a soundtrack to the background of your life? If you know Christ, there's a soundtrack in your life. If you can find the book of Zephaniah, turn to Zephaniah 3:17. If you can find it without looking at the table of contents in your Bible, you are a wizard. You're a wizard. All of you are wizards. You are all in the house of Slytherin, and you are wizards. All right, listen up. Zephaniah 3:17 says this. The Lord your God. This is God talking to his redeemed people, Israel, after he would restore them. This is God talking to his people. This is God talking to you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. God will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. And then get this. He will exalt over you with what? Loud singing. God exalts over you, rejoices over you with loud singing. That's how much he loves you, and that's how much he welcomes you and accepts you in Christ. I have kids, like I said, a lot of times because just to be silly and stupid, I'll make up absurd songs and sing them to them and rock around and dance in the kitchen. And I'm doing that because I love them so much. I want to make them laugh. I want them to feel my love for them. And so we're just running around making up stupid songs and I'm singing over them because they're mine, because I welcome them. Because nothing will change that. That's how God feels about you. Do you believe that? Can you hear it? You can't hear the song with your ears, but you can hear it in God's word. Do you hear God's song over you? The gospel changes where you look for your acceptance. Here it is. God rejoices over you with loud singing. He exults over you with loud singing. You don't have to do, here's the best part, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a single thing to earn that acceptance. And I want you to think deeply about that for a moment. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. You're already completely in. With Jesus, you are, he brings you completely into the kingdom. It's not like he brings you to the gate and then you got to kind of fight your way in. No, you're in. You are accepted in Christ the whole way, entirely. The person who matters most welcomes you the most. The person in the universe who matters the most welcomes you the most. Isn't that good news? You don't have to wear certain clothes. You don't have to do certain things. You don't have to be good or popular. You don't have to be cool, which is great news for me because I am not. But God loves me in spite of that. He welcomes me. He wants to have a relationship with me. That blows my mind. Guys, to be honest, I'm real socially awkward if you hang around with me for more than about an hour. Actually, more than 5 minutes. I'm terrible at making small talk. And you know that, like, that filter that most people have in their brains that stops them from saying things that are really ridiculous and stupid? Somewhere along the line in my development, that filter, it like got set on fire or something, because it's not there anymore. I don't have much sense of fashion at all, and I rely on my wife to keep me from sporting a look that they call, in the fashion world, they call it homeless. I'm that guy that you hang out with because you feel bad for him. But in spite of all that, I'm accepted. I'm welcomed. God in the gospel has welcomed me in Christ. I don't fight my way in or push my way in. I'm already in. A lot of you, I would imagine, probably everyone here in some way or another, you don't have the acceptance that you want. In some way or another, you don't have the acceptance that you want, whether it's friends, family, whatever. You don't have it. And that hurts really, really bad. To not have that acceptance you crave hurts bad. And I understand that. But this is where I want to keep directing your attention. You do have the acceptance that you need. You don't have the acceptance you want, but you do have the acceptance that you need in Christ. You have the acceptance that matters. Truly, truly matters. And that's going to fill the hole in your heart. So I want to ask you a question. It's a very simple question. Do you feel loved by God? Or maybe a better way of phrasing that is, do you believe you're loved by God? You believe it. Feelings come and go. Do you believe you are loved by God? Do you believe that you are valuable to God? Do you believe that you are welcomed by God? Do you believe that God cares about you individually? Not just like, sometimes we think God cares about us and loves us in sort of this generic, general, he loves all people kind of way. No, do you believe God cares about you? Put your name in there. Do you believe God cares about, insert your own name? And from my own experience with just interacting with different people, I know that people do a lot of things to numb the pain of not being accepted. I don't know what your thing is. Some people, they make terrible relationship choices because they're just trying to, they want somebody. They want somebody. And so they go from one destructive relationship to the next. Some people try to be perfect. They think that if they can perfect something about them, whether it's their appearance or their grades or their clothes, if they can perfect something, then they will have what they want. Some people feel it so intensely that they inflict pain on themselves to numb the deep pain they feel. Some people, they spend hours in the gym or they starve themselves. In these moments of pain, whatever your moment of pain is, can I encourage you and challenge you to do one thing? In your moments of deep, deep pain, when you are tempted to run to the things that numb, run to the thing that will actually heal the pain. When you're tempted to run to the things that are sort of temporary band-aids on a gunshot, run to the one, the person who called himself the great physician. Run to Jesus. He's the one who, that's where your acceptance is found. And he's the one that can help you. This is the God who loves you so much and so fiercely that he died for you. Tell Jesus about your pain. Tell him about it. Don't hide it from him. Remember, when he was on the cross, you remember Jesus' words on the cross? Remember what Jesus said when everything went completely black? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is rejection. That is rejection at its deepest. There is no greater rejection than being rejected by your own Father who is God. Why did Jesus experience that? So you wouldn't have to. Jesus was rejected so I don't have to be rejected. Man, am I happy about that. Jesus was rejected by the Father so I can be welcomed by him forever. Jesus isn't afraid of loneliness. He's not afraid of your pain. It doesn't surprise him. It doesn't disgust him. He's not surprised by anything in you. You've been purchased by God. You've been loved by God. You are saved by God. And so I want to close with a challenge to do two particular things. Two very important applications of this. Number one, do not make acceptance your God. Don't make it your God. It's a terrible God. You know, it's not wrong. A lot of the things I've talked about aren't wrong. It's not wrong to want to look good necessarily. It's not wrong to want friends. It's a good thing to want friends. It's not wrong even to want to be popular depending on your motivation. Not wrong to have a group. But if you make any of those things your God, they will destroy you. They're going to ruin your life. I promise you they will ruin your life. Instead, when you feel those things, when you feel that desire to make one of those things your God, the thing you run to Jesus instead. Run to Jesus, the one who is your acceptance. You can either run to the false God, the thing that feels like a God but isn't, of whatever you fill your pain with, or you can run to Jesus. Thank him that he'll never leave you. Thank him that he'll never forsake you. If you find yourself, and here's the thing, if you find yourself running to those things, sinning in one way or the other, if you find yourself making those things sinful things that you worship, the solution isn't to stay away from God. The solution is to go back and say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you that my acceptance is found in you. Help me to find all my satisfaction and acceptance in you. That's the solution. Don't make acceptance your God. That's number one. Number two, we've been accepted by God, so our relationship with God changes, and the gospel changes our relationships with other people. The gospel changes how you relate to other people and the way you accept and find acceptance with others. So let me challenge you on this one too. Can you please make an effort to include those who are on the outside? Make an effort. So remember this. God has done the great thing of bringing you into his kingdom. And we're not doing this to pay back. We never try to pay God back. We simply are doing this out of love and affection and obedience for God. Let's welcome others as Christ has welcomed us. It's a great place to start at this camp. Welcome those who it seems like maybe don't have the people you have. Include those who don't have a place to be included. At your church, fight against cliques and in-groups. That's the opposite of the gospel. The gospel says all are welcome in Christ. The gospel says it doesn't matter who you are or what you look like or what you do, you are welcome in Christ. By God's grace, let's model that same grace toward others. Don't dishonor God by excluding. And you know what? I said this last night. I want to say it again. I don't know where all of you are with Christ. I don't know where a lot of you are. So I just want to ask you, are you accepted by God? Are you? Do you know if God accepts you? If you've placed your faith in Christ and only Christ to save you, then yes, you are accepted. Again, though, if you don't know the answer to that question, or if the answer is no, God loves you and he cares about you, but you are still in the domain of darkness. Don't stay there. You will be perpetually unsatisfied there. you will always be trying to find satisfaction and acceptance and never find it. Come to Jesus and find what you're craving. Find forgiveness. Find redemption. Find salvation. And don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come to Christ. I want to close. There's a rap artist named Lecrae, and he puts it like this. He's talking about approval and acceptance. He says, life is a cage, a prison of everyone's approval. Fight for acceptance and struggle so you don't ever lose it. But living for their acceptance has got us stressing, insecure people obsessed with leaving impressions. Ladies spending time on their faces, painting pretty lines. To you and me, it's makeup, but to her, it's a disguise. You look her in the eye, you look her in her eyes and see her soul cry, because living for other people's got her living a lie. Haven't slept in a day, close his eyes and he pray. Someone would miss him if he fell like a star out of space. But I'm sure they'll replace him, just a name and a face. They say they love you, but it's easy to fall from their graces. Live for everyone else, got you losing yourself. Why be a slave when made to be free from the guilt, to be free from the shame? You are more than a name. If you go down, you got the freedom to get up again. God wants you to have the freedom to get up again. The freedom to know him. The freedom to not crave the acceptance of others. So I just want to pray. And before I pray, I want to invite you guys to just spend a minute or two in silence thinking through what we talked about. I want you to think through, are there any false things, false gods of acceptance that you run to? Are there anything where you are trying to find acceptance other than Christ? If that's you, take that now to Jesus. Bring it to him. Ask his forgiveness. Let it be cleansed. It is cleansed by the blood of Christ, but just receive that afresh. Let's do that together. Father, I thank you. For accepting me. I have nothing to bring to you other than my need and my sin. You provide everything I need and we need. Thank you for Christ, who is our righteousness, our redemption, our acceptance, our freedom. Pray for each person here that they would experience that deep in their souls. That they would experience the freedom of the gospel, the freedom from living from the approval of other people. That they would be free from the ache and the despair they feel because of not being accepted. Pray they would be aware of your love for them through the gospel. I thank you that the gospel changes where we find our acceptance. Pray that we would live this as we go out of here. In Jesus' name, amen.